Warning.
This is the most important
podcast
of our lifetime.
Hello, everyone.
What is Hoppatarian?
So what is Hoppa? So when you put together Hoppatarians, what is that?
You know the thing.
They're here to awkward it up for you guys.
Which is a very interesting and beautiful mix of humanity.
Anyone has a podcast?
You're an extremist.
Shut up.
All right, let's get to it. Hey, what's happening? And welcome to the Hoppatarian Show, the number one show hosted by someone who hasn't been killed by Panera Bread's caffeinated lemonade. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and leave a review telling us how much you love the Hoppa ethnostate. Come on! Returning to the show once again. How many times are we going to book this guy? I mean, really? Why are we... It's Alan Mosley. How are you doing, sir?
I'm really good. I'm refreshed and energized. I'm on my third inner caffeinated lemonade. I forgot what they even call them, but
I don't remember. A hypercharged or something like that? Surge? I don't know.
Well, I mean, lemonade is just really sugary water, so they're just adding caffeine to the sugar water, right? Like, that's the gimmick?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you could actually squeeze lemonade and make it somewhat pure, right?
I mean, I guess, but how different is that from just having a Red Bull?
That's true. I mean, I see people downing those Red Bulls like they're water, and it was like, really?
Yeah. You want to know something crazy? I've never had a Red Bull in my life. Never had one.
Yeah, for energy drinks, I used to drink Rockstar. There was a period of time where I would drink one of those a day or sometimes or whenever. And then I got into ZOA, which is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because, you know, if you drink ZOA, maybe you'll become as buff as he is. I don't know. And those aren't too bad. You know, they taste okay for energy drinks. They're not that bad.
Would The Rock be allowed in your ethnostate?
I think he's Polynesian, I believe, right?
I think so. So yes or no or...
I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that. That's to be determined. Okay. So since you mentioned The Rock and I mentioned The Rock.
Okay.
I saw his episode with Joe Rogan. And I got to say, I mean, as impressive of an entrepreneur and businessman and just a marketer, because I mean, this motherfucker has, I don't know how many things he's how many things he's endorsing, how many things has his name on it and all that. That episode was about as mediocre as you could possibly imagine. I mean, the things about him where, oh yeah, you know, when I started wrestling and all this stuff, blah, 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 you know, it's inspiring, whatever. But then when they start talking about Israel, Palestine, and I'm just thinking, The Rock is probably like the last person you want to talk to about this, because Joe would be saying something that I'm pretty sure Dave Smith's been getting into his head about some of the stuff, because he said some things that Dave also has said on the show. And The Rock's like, yeah, you know, it's the gist of what he said was, yeah, so yeah, it's a really difficult, crazy situation over there. And, you know, what's the solution? Like, how's they gonna? And I'm thinking, this is the guy that one of the political parties apparently went up to him and said, hey, we know you're really popular and you. President of the United States, how's that sound? And I'm like, this is the guy? He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about when it comes to foreign policy. This is the guy. It's like, yeah, I think we should do something about Israel Palestine. It's a crazy situation over there. Am I right, guys?
Yeah. It was the Republicans, though, right? Didn't the Republicans want The Rock?
Well, he wouldn't say which party it was, but I mean, it's 50-50. I mean, whichever one, it doesn't really matter.
I'm pretty sure it was, because I mean, like, you had Arnold as the governor of California, and I mean, that, you know, in hindsight, you're like, how could this possibly have happened? Like, how could this have happened? And yet he got in, and then he was a terrible governor. And it wasn't even necessarily, I mean, Gavin Newsom's a terrible governor, but people reflected upon Arnold as being a terrible governor, and then the scandals came out about his whatever maid or whatever and all that stuff. But you know, the NFL has Taylor Swift and the XFL has The Rock, and that kind of tells you all you need to know about the about the power structure there. Well,
if there was a Republican, then that's pretty funny, because didn't he come out endorsing Joe Biden, and he and Oprah are, you know, being all buddy buddy about we gotta donate some money to Maui. You know, it's crazy what's going on over there. And of course, they got criticized because people are thinking, why are these multi-billionaires asking me for money? It's like, motherfucker, you could give them money. Like, what's the problem? I don't understand what are you talking about? So,
you know, like, the big knock on Biden is that he has dementia and he's not really in charge, right? Like, there's a lot of Biden's not in charge. He's not really even the president. He's just a name, a placeholder. And there's people behind him that are really running the country. Well, if that is true, and I kind of think it is, and you consider that to be a bad thing, and I would, because there's unelected bureaucrats running the country, then the whole idea of The Rock is literally that, right? Like, you're going to The Rock purely because you think he's a winning ticket. You know that he doesn't actually know anything, and you know that he's going to be weak, right? Like, I know it's counterintuitive to think a big, strong guy like The Rock is weak, but he would be mentally weak. They would put people around him that would tell him, you need to say this, you need to do this, you need to sign this, you need to authorize this. So that's because that's what they really want, though, right? He would just be a puppet for them. And so the smartest thing he could do is, instead of informing himself on all of that, he could just say, I just know you guys are probably evil pieces of shit, so I'm just gonna go ahead and take my hat out of the ring on this one. Doesn't party, by the way. Could have been either one. The answer is still the same. You guys just want to use me, so I'm gonna nope out of here.
Maybe it was the Libertarian Party. They're just so desperate. Like, oh man, we need the Rock, man. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we can't get failed comedians, then we can at least get The Rock, who is, I guess, probably also a failed comedian at this point. I don't know. What is The Rock's primary job now? I mean, I know he owns the XFL now. What else does he do?
Yeah, co-owner of the XFL, part-time, not really retired WWE wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Which he's kind of up there in years now, isn't he? I mean, he still looks like he's in good shape, but he's not a spring chicken anymore. So I don't think he wants to go throwing his body around the ring. So what does he do?
I don't know. Be a spokesperson for Acorns. Zoa, you know, I think he's like a shareholder in Voss Water. I don't know how I know all this stuff about The Rock, but it's just
you seem to know a lot about The Rock. Keep going.
Because he might be the president in 4 years. So I don't know. Maybe I need to know about this guy in case he does become president and wants to kill us all later. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I do remember that little infomercial he did with Oprah saying that they need money for Hawaii, because I saw so many fantastic memes that came out. It was more Oprah than The Rock. Like, The Rock is a very wealthy man, but Oprah is rich,
right?
Like, even in a world of rich people, Oprah's rich. I mean, she's a billionaire, and because people made memes of Oprah like doing all these self-help guru pep talks, saying that, you know, here's what you need to do if you feel bad and life's not going well. And it said, step one, have $1 billion.
Or that classic Norm joke in Weekend Update where he's talking about Norm's boyfriend. I can't remember what the guy's name was, but he wrote a book. And he's like, oh yeah, 10 was like something like 10 steps on how to become rich or whatever. And step one is, you know, marry Oprah Winfrey or go out with Oprah Winfrey. There you go.
I wonder why it is she never was able to stop being so fat. Like, when you're as rich as she is, on the one hand, you can do whatever you want, and maybe you don't care about being fat. But on the other hand, it's like people that rich can just pay people to make them not fat. You can have surgeries, you can get your personal trainers and dietitians and stuff, and they just, you know, you just follow the dotted line, and then you're not, like, I'm not saying like get into shape to be in a Marvel movie. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, I mean, Marvel at this point, I mean, who cares about Marvel movies anymore?
Well, I was going to say maybe that's what The Rock can do, but he was in a DC movie. He was Black Adam.
Yeah, but it didn't do all that great the box office wise.
Yeah. Plus they it's like on the one hand they wanted to make Black Adam black, but on the other hand The Rock's not black.
Yeah.
So
they should have put a little black smudge on him, blackface him, you know.
Yeah, could you imagine they put The Rock in blackface? Because you know, like 2/3 of people think he is black because he's just a man with brown skin, so he must be black. I don't know. There's layers to that one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see Black Adam, but it was. I mean, they were hyping that movie and The Rock was just promoting the hell out of, oh yeah, Black Adam. Oh, it's going to change DC cinematic universe forever. And then it like, I don't know what the budget was, but I'd probably guess about $250 million. And I think it made maybe $350 million, which sounds like a profit. But when you put in all the marketing and everything else, it was not much of a profit. It probably even made less. I would probably say it was a disappointing just box office returns if I were to guess.
So the budget was between 190 and 260 million. So that was really good on your part. Oh my God. So because you know that when you factor in like promotion and release and stuff, a movie really has to make like 2 to 3 times its budget in order to just break even. It made 393 million worldwide. Ooh, that's a big yikes.
Yeah, 250 million, 393 million. And then, yeah, so really it was about 700 to 750 million when you, like you said, factor in all the marketing and all the promotions and all the TV ads and all that. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is too, is like, I know that a lot of people are going to say like, who the shit cares about Black Adam? Like, no one. Like, there's going to be some random comic book nerd that'll be like, oh, yeah, Black Adam was my favorite. Like, okay, but for you, but for, think the public at large, people know who Batman is.
Yeah.
No one knows who Black Adam is. So it's Black the Rock. That's
right.
No one went to the movie. So it's like, are you going to the movie because it's a Black Adam movie and that's your favorite character ever? Or are you going to the movie because it has The Rock in it? The answer might be no. to both. I'm just saying more people, I guess, theoretically might go see it because it has The Rock in it than because it's Black Adam. But I mean, no one cares. Like Batman and Superman, let's be real. Like that's all DC has. And they kind of screwed both of those up, so they don't have anything. Yeah, but it's with Marvel too, though, right? Like everyone's like, why aren't we making any money with Ant-Man and the Marvels? And it's like, because nobody gives a shit. If it's not Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, no one cares. It's over. No one cares.
Well, I would also put in, yeah, so Iron Man, yeah, Captain America, like you said, but even Guardians of the Galaxy, like 3, like we just recently watched 3, and it was a pretty good movie. And I know that for that movie, that was supposed to be kind of the end all. A lot of the people who were in that movie don't want to do it anymore, or they're like, okay, we're done. James Gunn's like, I'm done with this. Maybe do a fourth one, but that's like way down the line, and that's even if not, the MCU is still even a thing now. But yeah, I mean, DC screwed themselves over when they had Zack Snyder do all that, whatever the hell he was doing with Man of Steel and all that crap. They really pinned themselves into a corner, and the MCU, the way they started, it was like, okay, we're building up to something bigger here. Like, we're going to have these little nuggets of, hey, we have this new information, especially when you watch towards the end of the end credits and all that. That was a little nugget. Oh, Thor's coming up. Okay, so Thor's going to be up here in the next couple movies or whatever. And then, Thanos is going to be the big bad guy. I mean, we saw that with Infinity War and Endgame. So, you know. And Infinity War, in my opinion, was the best Marvel movie up to that point. And then Endgame was kind of like that epilogue. I was like, okay, you know, obviously we know how that's going to end, but Infinity War was just like, man, what a great movie. And then after that, it's like Doctor Strange 2, like, okay, I guess. And then, yeah, the Marvels, like, who the fuck? I don't know. And plus with the Brie Larson and how she handled the whole thing and how, mm-hmm. oh, this is, she's a woman and she's most, the most powerful character. It's like, okay, well, I don't know. So the whole superhero movie thing is, I think it was good from Iron Man up to about, I guess once Endgame was over, it's like less interest now. Like mm-hmm. now what do we got? Oh, Ant-Man 3. Oh, okay. Black Panther 2, whatever. Nobody cares about Wakanda Forever. Nobody gives a shit. So mm-hmm. like what, and also they screwed themselves over when I have to watch the TV show. I have to watch a TV show on Disney Plus and then watch that. No, screw you. Mm-hmm. Before it was just the movies. They had all this other extra stuff. And I don't know. It seems like a more of a waste of time now, because before it was, oh, okay, so I have to watch this movie and then I gotta watch this one, then Iron Man 2, and then the Captain America and blah blah blah. It led up to something. Now it's, what are we leading up to now? It's like it's all over the place. I have to watch this, I have to watch WandaVision, I have to watch whatever. I don't know what to do anymore.
So the biggest mistake that these people make, and Disney has done it with Marvel, Disney has done it with Star Wars, DC did it, is they think that if they have a very expensive, valuable IP, that, well, you idiots will go watch it anyway. So we don't really have to try that hard to write good dialogue and build good worlds and have good characters. We just need to slap the famous ones on the front, and we need to get some good cast. If we cast the characters and they're popular characters, then we just auto win. And so they're finding out that, we live in a world where there's just so many options, right? Like there's so much stuff streaming. There's so much stuff online. There's so much stuff that's out and that's coming out, that you have so many options that it's not good enough to just take a popular character from an adaptation and slap them on the front and say, hey, this is good enough. Like here's a hot take for you. Maybe none of the Marvel movies were actually ever that good, and they were just riding on the coattails of a handful of pretty famous actors playing very famous IP characters. And when those were gone, there was nothing to fall back on, because they didn't actually have very compelling stories. They didn't actually write good dialogue. So JC's right. So the Winter Soldier was great. Captain America Winter Soldier was the best one of the bunch. Civil War was pretty good. The original first Avenger Captain America was pretty good. Winter Soldier was excellent. But it's because it actually is a good, like if you just took that movie out of the MCU, if it was just, here's a Captain America movie and there's no post credits, there's no sequels, it's just, here's a movie. The movie's pretty good. It's a pretty good movie, and it talks about like some interesting and important like worldly topics without shoving like ideology down your throat. And it's Captain America being Captain America. But it actually has kind of like the whole good spy thriller espionage thing leading to the twist and the whodunit and whatever. Like it's a great movie. But that's, I'm talking about it at length because that's an exception, not the rule. Most Marvel movies were just empty calories. Most of the Marvel movies, even before leading up to Endgame, most of them were just empty calories. And sure, Infinity War and Endgame, like here's this huge, great spectacle to close this generation of cinema. But most of what led up to it was empty calories that was being carried by like the big three and the actors that played them. And I'll give you that Guardians of the Galaxy is in a weird place because, like 1/1 and 2 came in that earlier generation. Yeah. And now 3 kind of came after that generation. So it's kind of like a holdover. Like you remember these characters from when times were good. And so you kind of want to stick it out with them to the end. But with them being a small exception, that's it. It's over. And the whole concept of like superhero fatigue or franchise fatigue, I'm not saying that that's not real, but I think it's heavily overstated. I don't think the problem is people are tired of superhero movies, although some people are. I think it's they're tired of bad movies. and they're bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the Marvels didn't do well. And
there's a lot of reasons why the Marvels didn't do well.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah.
And of course, Black Adam, that's one reason too. I mean, I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'm going to see it, but from what I've heard, it's that Black Adam already kind of comes across as a strong and powerful character that, I guess, because the way that I heard describe it was, for DC, it was gods trying to be human. And for Marvel, it was humans trying to act like gods. Other than Thor, I guess you could say, because he's already a god, but he still sort of acts human because he has that hammer. That's what makes him a god.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I think a lot of people said that the first Wonder Woman with Gal Gadot was a pretty good movie. Of course, the second Wonder Woman was not a good movie. I think most people agree with that assessment, but I think it's also one of those things where I did watch Wonder Woman. And I remember watching it at first thinking, well, that wasn't bad. But I also felt like it's self-contained. Like, it was a movie that, again, if you just tore it out and just said, this is just a movie, there's no universe, we just made a movie, here you go, we're done with it now, it would be not bad. But then when they then string her along into this whole, like, DCEU, you're like, no, it doesn't really work. The character's just not really that interesting. She's really not that good of an actress. And there's just not a lot of depth to the character. All of the depth was in the original film. Like, that was it. They took all of what Wonder Woman had to give to that universe, and they put it in her origin movie. And now her little bits and all the other stuff is cringe. But, and so maybe the moral of the story is that you make a good movie, and you're like, and then you're done with it. You're like, here, this is now a part of the zeitgeist, and we move on to other things. It doesn't always have to be like they were trying so hard to compete with Marvel, right? Like, they're trying to make a expanded universe that's going to be 40 films. Like, no, you make a good movie and you wipe your hands of it and you move on to a totally new product, and that's okay. You can do that still. And also, you can make a movie for less than like $1 billion. It can be done. People used to do it.
What?
Yeah, people used to make movies without setting a new all-time record for spending on a movie every single time you make a new movie.
Well, that's why Blumhouse, they have the formula of, okay, we're going to make horror movies. The budget's going to be about $5 to $10 million, if that. And man, are we going to make a profit. Ooh, horror movies are in now. Because if you make a really cheap horror movie and it makes $50 million, perfect. We can use that money to make the next Blumhouse movie or whatever. I mean, they have the formula right there. Don't make this $250 million film and then add an extra $500 million to promotions and just hope and pray that, oh man, if we can get $500 million in China, oh, perfect. Like, how did Black Adam do in China? I would probably guess they're like, I don't want to. Chinese people probably don't want to see a black guy in the lead. I'm sorry. They also want to see a black guy in a lead movie. Maybe. At least for this one. I don't know how Black Panther did, maybe because it was a net Marvel thing and that was already part of the zeitgeist like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how popular The Rock is in China. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't know. And plus, I think with The Rock, and how it seems like with his box office, look at what happened with Fear, like the Fast and Furious movies and the movies when he was in those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was an ensemble, so he became a part of it, and those were making massive amounts of money anyway. But now he's part of it, and it's probably making a little bit extra because he's in it, because of the little intrigue of, oh, him and Vin Diesel, what's going to happen there. But then all the movies, it seems like where he's kind of just, he's the guy. The box office is okay. Like some of them, like San Andreas, it did okay, I think. And some whatever other leads he did. I can't remember the one with the freaking, like, I don't know what it was, like a gorilla or something. I don't know what it was called. And then Baywatch, like, I think that was a flop. Like, so what exactly... Is he okay? So if he doesn't become the president, he's just gonna continue doing what he's doing. Now, if he were to become president, So let's make it like some kind of what if scenario. If the Rock, okay. if Dwayne the Rock Johnson became the president of the United States, first off, I would think if he wants to be more, since he is in Hollywood, he doesn't want to piss off anybody. He doesn't want to piss off a damn person. Would it be better off just being an independent and doing it that way? Because if he ran as a Republican, just because he has that R next with him, you know, some people in Hollywood are like, nah, we can't have you.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have you be in Hollywood anymore.
He wouldn't run as an independent because that would mean he's running, if that makes sense. Like yeah. he wants to run because he wants to be president and he has a very specific platform in mind to run with. We already know that's not true. There's nothing going on.
What's his platform going to be? Yeah, what's his platform going to be? Yeah, Israel and Palestine. So, it's a crazy situation over there.
Yeah, so he's not running for president. He's being run by people. So he wouldn't run as an independent. So let's say he runs as a Democrat because the Democrats just are trying to score a free win. So it would literally just be Joe Biden 2.0. I mean, they obviously couldn't look or act any further apart, but it would be Joe Biden 2.0. Oh, because if he won the presidency, the moment he's sworn in, there would be his cabinet would be handed to him. They would say, hello, here's your cabinet picks. And when they get in, it would be like, okay, they're going to come in with stacks of papers every day that you need to sign. And God only knows what's in those documents. And he's going to sign them and they're going to appoint whoever they want to appoint. And you think of all the things that the president actually does as being part of the executive. Like you think of judge appointments. And I'm not talking about Supreme Court, you know, but, you know, federal and circuit judges, you know, obviously executive actions. So you think of like drone bombing campaigns where they're misusing military authorization. So you think of like renewing the AUMF and you think of like executive orders for spending on environmental. Oh, they would be going hard on the environmental stuff because he probably thinks it's good. He's too stupid to know it's bad. So he would just, in his mind, he would be thinking, I'm actually doing something really good by doing this. I don't even have to worry about them misleading me on this one.
He's going
to
be rock bottoming climate change.
Yeah, exactly. So you think of like anything that goes in with environmental. So anything in the energy sector. You know, they would be, oh, we're going to stop fracking. We're not going to drill anywhere in the U.S. for oil. You think of arms sales. It would be like, well, you know, The Rock might think to himself, wait a minute, are we supposed to be selling arms to Saudi Arabia or Jordan? And he would just be the people who are actually running the country would say, well, look, that's what we do. And it's totally fine because they're the good guys. And he would shrug and say, okay. And he'd sign the paper. And in legal terms, it would be, oh, the executive signed off on all this, but you know, he doesn't, he's not doing any of it. He's just a figurehead. In fact, the less time he actually spent in the Oval Office reading or writing anything, the better it would be for the people behind the scenes. They wouldn't actually want him. If this makes sense, they would want him to just never leave the campaign trail. They would want him kissing babies and you know, get blowing out hugs and kisses forever. Just keep doing that while we over here run the country. So like if you're an anti-deep state person, if you're looking for someone to drain the swamp, the opposite of that would be electing The Rock, because he doesn't know anything. The swamp would thrive with someone like that as president.
It would just be him on Instagram. It's like, he's working out at 4 a.m. again, but he's the president. Yeah. Isn't this cool?
Oh, yeah. The official White House social medias would all be posting things of, look what he's doing. Imagine? He's out here running with his dog, you know, 20 miles to start the day. Protein shakes, LOL. I mean, that's all it would be. That's all it would be. And if there's a national tragedy, he would just try to put on his saddest face. And maybe he's a legitimately really nice guy. And maybe he would feel really bad when bad things happened. But he would only, if something serious did happen, he would feel that much more inclined to go to the experts to say, hey guys, you just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it because I want to help. But we know who these experts are, right? So it would be a disaster. And if anything, there's a good chance that the stuff that he does, you know, in hard quotations, would be disastrous, and then people would hate him, and then he would wonder, why is everyone so upset? He wouldn't even get it.
Well, that's what happens when you're president. You're going to be liked by some people and hated by others. I mean, that's just how it's always going to be.
See, that's exactly why I don't think someone like him would ever run, because people like him are generally well-liked, generally right, from general audiences, generally everywhere. Yeah. I mean,
he really cares about his image.
Like, I'm sure that there's people that don't like The Rock's movies, but I don't think they hate The Rock, like hate him as a person. I don't hate him as a person. He seems like a nice guy. People seem to like him. I don't have any reason to believe he's not a nice person. So I don't want to hate him, but sure, if he became president and started basically just letting the shadow government control everything, then yeah, he would deserve the hate that he gets. So I think he's at least smart enough to know that that's a distinct possibility. So that would make me think he would never get involved in politics. If you get involved in politics, you're going to just instantly be hated by half by default.
Well, it'd be like when, like, you're talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming the governor of California. And then like, he's a Republican, but then you really look into what he's doing, and it's like, I mean, I love Arnold Schwarzenegger's movies. I mean, he's, you know, and all that stuff. But man, every time I think about his political career, the whole time I'm just thinking, okay, it's great that you beat that Democrat or you got him out of there, but then you went in there and you pretty much did the same thing. So what did you do different? It's just you did it. And then, you know, he'd be like, oh, I'm going to terminate, you know, we're going to terminate oil, whatever, you know, it's because he's trying to incorporate his slogan into the campaign. That's what I'm thinking with The Rock. He would probably do something like that. Like I was saying, rock bottom and climate change, or look at all these jabronis, blah, 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 you know, something like that. Blah, 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 Smackdown Boulevard and all this bullshit. It's like,
yeah. Come on. I mean, so again, Arnold is a perfect example. Arnold doesn't know jack shit. Like, let's be real. So when he got elected governor.
No, what he knows is Republicans and Democrats, we have to work together. You know, that's how. I'm going to make the Republicans be with the Democrats. We have so much division now. So what we need is we need better unity. It's like, no, fuck that. Fuck unity.
Yeah, exactly. What we desperately need is no bipartisanship at all, ever. That's the worst thing you can have, is because they're always going to agree on the absolute worst things. So the point being is that Arnold doesn't know anything. So he's exactly the kind of person who is going to be surrounded by the experts who are going to tell him what to think, tell him what to say, tell him what to do, and he's going to do it. But what does he get for his trouble? See, here's the thing. You said that he gets elected and then everything's just basically the same, if not worse. So Arnold, the man, this is what you get for your trouble. So you get elected, you're going to try to do everything right, and you're going to try to do everything. You're going to try to be better, because you're trying to not be just a member of the status quo. But you end up just doing everything you're told, but then they hate you anyway. Right. So the people on the opposite side of the aisle hate you because you're the opposition, and the people on your own side of the aisle ultimately hate you in the end anyway. You're just hated no matter what. It actually reminds me, I do a little sports analogy here. You know me, I'm from Tennessee. You know, the Tennessee Volunteers in football were not good for like the last 15 plus years. They're finally starting to turn it around now, but they weren't good for a while. And there was a lot of people that said, well, you know, we have a really famous alumni that should come back and get involved with the program, Peyton Manning.
You're gonna talk, yeah.
And Peyton Manning had a great answer for this, and it was, I love the Vols, and I will support the team, and I donate to the school, and I would even be willing to come in on an advisory role. But one thing I would never do is be a coach. You know why? Because it can only make my profile in Knoxville worse. It can only go down. He is a god there. They literally have statues to his honor. The street is called Peyton Manning Pass, where the stadium is. So if he does anything other than win the national championship, it's downhill. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you're already revered and you can only have one way to go from there, which is down, then no, you just say, no, thanks. I don't think I'm the right guy for this. And you move on. And that's exactly what any mega celebrity should do. Any mega celebrity that doesn't actually know anything about politics or want to get involved, and they're trying to talk them into it, they shouldn't. And any mega celebrity that does want to get into politics also shouldn't, because they're stupid pieces of shit and probably commies. So they shouldn't be involved either. None of these people know anything. But of course, the real answer here is really no one should have that much power, because no one can possibly know what they need to know, much less attract good and moral people to positions of power. It just doesn't happen. But those people especially shouldn't.
I mean, it's just interesting too that talking about The Rock and Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's like, you know, the idiocracy movie where, you know, the celebrity becomes the president. It's just like, well, Donald Trump became that. And he's another prime example. Donald Trump pretty much just torpedoed his way into the presidency. And if you want to say it like that, and then how much of the stuff that he wanted to do, or he was saying during the campaign trail and all those awesome debates that he was a part of, how much of that actually happened? Like, I don't know, maybe a handful, I guess. And then it's like, speaking of nowadays, where the GOP debates, like one that's happened recently, and Donald Trump isn't a part of it, and he's still the number one guy.
By far.
It's just like, what is the point? Like, okay, so everybody knows that now, because everyone knows that Trump is the guy, is of the four that were up there the last time, they're just vying for the VP spot. So what if Donald Trump decides he doesn't pick any of those four? Then what was the fucking point? Like, I don't, because if Vivek does it, if Vivek becomes his vice presidential candidate, then it's a Trump Ramaswamy, which that sounds kind of weird, Trump Ramaswamy. But in terms of, I guess, like the firepower and just all the jabs that Vivek was kind of, and all the viral clips of him just talking down on Nikki Haley, which was freaking awesome. How much will that translate into actual policy? It's like with Donald Trump, how much of what he said translated to actual policy?
None whatsoever. I mean, we already know what Trump's about. We literally saw it for 4 years. It's going to be.
And his last year was the worst. His last year was by far the worst.
It's going to be Swamp Monster Central. NJS over there. Trump shouldn't have let Kushner in the White House. Guess what? He wants him back. He'll have Jared back because he doesn't know anything. He doesn't consider himself to have made mistakes. Therefore, he can't possibly correct mistakes.
Well, yeah, there's that when he was doing the town hall or whatever it was and talking about the vaccine, and he's fucking bragging about, yep, oh, Operation Warp Speed. That was great. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, do you just blame it on Biden. Like, why are you talking, oh, I was great. Like, what are you talking about? We got the vaccine out there. I taken the vaccine. People were booing him. They were booing mm-hmm. him, saying that he got the vaccine. He's like, boo me, whatever. And it's like, dude, fuck you. Like, no, yeah. you're getting booed for a reason, dude. Like, you got to listen. Like, I guess you're not a good listener. I guess some people took longer than others to realize this, but you're not a good listener. So
yeah,
if people are booing you because you got the vaccine, maybe my base doesn't like the vaccine. It's kind of ironic too, to think that the people who are anti, like, the COVID vax, at least,
mm-hmm.
are following this guy who is yep. bragging about Operation Warp Speed. That's like, what the fuck? That's such a mind fuck.
By the way, I can picture in my mind Trump having that conversation with Vivek and yeah. saying, and I don't do a good Trump impression, so I'm sorry, but him saying, look, Vivek Ramalama Ding Dong, look, that doesn't work. The Americans are not, yeah, Americans are not going to vote for a Vivek Ramalama Ding Dong. From now on,
Americans,
you're Vince
Roberts. They're not going to vote for Trump Ramaswamy. It no, doesn't sound it's, white enough.
Yeah. From now on, you're Vince Roberts.
I mean, Nikki Haley did that. That's not even her fucking name. Nimata, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. See, here's the thing. This is what you're going to get if and when Trump wins election. I guess it's re-election technically, even though he wasn't the most recent one. He's still being re-elected. Is all the worst things about Nikki Haley's foreign policy, Trump will do all that stuff. And all the worst things you can get from a domestic policy of like a Joe Biden, Trump will do that stuff too. He's going to do all that. He is going to do whatever the neocons tell him to do in foreign policy. And he's going to do whatever the left can convince him to do. I think he's already talked about pegging the CEO of one of the big groups. I forget if it's Citibank or one of the other ones. He wants to take their CEO and he wants to name them Treasury Secretary, because in Trump's mind, because you look at it from his perspective, that's his social circle, right? Trump is an elite. He's not one of us. He doesn't know you. He doesn't give a shit about you. I don't care how many Waffle Houses he goes into. he thinks you're all disgusting pieces of shit. That's what he actually thinks. What? So he, Waffle in House. His social circle, people like the CEO of Citibank are his buddies. Those are the people he rubs elbows with, right? And so he wants that guy to be his Treasury Secretary, because in his mind, he's a successful financials guy. You know what else that guy is? That guy is a hard left Democrat.
Oh, there
you go. So all the MAGA people out there that want to drain the swamp and they think the left are all pedophiles and murderers and election stealers and all that, Trump openly says he wants to take the elite of that side of the political spectrum and put them in his cabinet. And you're going to vote for him as your Republican nominee.
Tell that to Laura Loomer. She's like a fucking sucking his dick every tweet she does. Oh, Trump said this. Oh, my God. This guy, he could do no wrong. He's like Ian Miles Chong talking about Elon Musk. Oh, my God, Elon, that's the smartest. This is the greatest thing you've ever done. Twitter is now called X. Brilliant. Love it.
Laura Loomer, don't get me started on that. Cunt. So the thing is that, like, you know, you get in trouble these days for saying things like people should die or they should kill themselves, because that's self-harm, and you get deplatformed for it. So for a long time I told people they need to visit euthanasia.com. Now I've started retweeting people like Laura Loomer by just saying you should consider whether or not the world would be a better place without you in it.
Like, do the Hans Hermann hop up. Maybe you should, you know, remove mm-hmm. yourself by one or whatever it was.
I'm high confidence, like over 90%, that the world would be a better place without Laura Loomer in it. And you can just interpret that however you want.
You hear that, Laura Loomer?
I also think it'd be a better place without Trump in it too. I also think it'd be a better place without Biden in it too. So I mean, you know, there's plenty of
You know, you got equal opportunity, you know, suicide. Yeah. Everybody should kill themselves.
Yeah. Well, we got to reduce the emissions somehow.
Yeah. Reduce the problem by one. That's what it was. You know, just reduce the problem by one if you just kill yourself on the spot.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Change starts with you.
Yeah. You hear that, Laura?
Well, like Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley just wants to kill a lot of people that oppose her worldview. And so she should be the change that she wants to see in the world. I mean, just the thing is like, you know, of the people that are up there, right, like this election cycle, the names that are being thrown around and the people that are up there, I want most of them to kill themselves. But there's a few that it would be okay with me if they didn't off themselves, but I don't actually want them anywhere near Washington. I just think that they should politely bow out and go away, and they should get to live. That's about as, like, I think Vivek should probably get to live. I think the longer he stays, the worse it's going to get, and he's going to wind up on the wall. So he should go away. And same thing for RFK. So RFK is already sucking Israel's dick because thinks that that's somehow going to get him to win the election.
That guy, he duped a lot of.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, people. I've very closely already reached that point with RFK. I think he now should be the change he wants to see in the world. I'm almost already there with him.
It's funny. You don't really hear about him that much anymore. He kind of disappeared.
Well, that's because his base, if there is such a thing, like, first of all, he's not going to be the Democratic nominee because they won't allow it. So he'd have to run as an independent. And an independent's not going to win, so that's irrelevant. So we're only talking about a protest election. We're not even talking about an actual candidacy. We're talking about a protest election. And in so much as there's a protest election, it's not a protest election unless you can at least get a high enough percentage of the vote that you like force someone else to lose. Like if you're mad at the Democrats because they won't respect you, then you need to get a high enough percentage of the vote independently that the Democrat candidate loses. And you can say, aha, you have to listen to me. Otherwise, you're going to lose. Okay, fine. But what base he did have would have been anti-war, I would say, is fair to say. So by extension, we're probably anti-Zionist. I'm not going to say anti-Israel. I'm not going to get Shane's poor channel deplatformed for saying what
I'm going to say. No, you say it. Anti-Israel is anti-Zionist.
Yeah, but well, so RFK is the kind of person to think that.
Yeah,
I know what you're referencing, the recent vote in the House, but I'm serious. RFK is the kind of person who he will publicly agree with that statement because he's trying to get in the in crowd of the Zionist Jews. Yeah. And first of all, it's such a sad cuck move to do that because they will never respect him. They will never respect him no matter what he says or does. And B, It actually hurt his candidacy because all the people who would have only supported him for no other reason at all, that he was anti-establishment and anti-war, and then of course obviously like anti the COVID lockdowns and jabs and stuff. Well, yeah. He might still be good on the jabs and the lockdowns, but he himself has made that a backseat topic to now like foreign policy in Israel, and he's terrible on those topics. He has chosen to take the one good thing he had and put it on the back burner to promote things that put him exactly in line with Biden and Kamala Harris and Nikki Haley. Like he is towing the exact same political line as all of those people. So why would I vote for RFK?
I mean, I'm sure he'll swindle some people to vote for him somehow.
But I don't think he'll get enough votes. Like he won't get enough of the share. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily 100% for certain that he's even going to run as an independent. I know that he's been posturing like that, but let's see if he's still putting his money where his mouth is like 6 months from now. That's for one. Two, I don't think he'll get enough support to matter. Like, again, you have to get enough support that without your support, some major candidate can't win without it. So they have to, you know, there has to be give and take. Like they have to be willing to concede to some of your policy positions. Otherwise you'll force them to lose the election. That's the only reason you would run independently at all. And I don't think he'll necessarily get as much as you think he will. And then finally three, I mean, it goes without saying he has a 0% chance to win. He can't win outright. I'm not even necessarily sure that he would force someone like a Biden to lose. I think at the end of the day, it's more likely that he'll wind up being the next Bernie Sanders. And what I mean by that is talk a bunch of tough talk during the primaries. And when the rubber hits the road, you just endorse the Democratic candidate and move on with your life.
Right.
Bernie did that every time. Every time. Every time, Bernie bros, by the way. Bernie bros are exactly like MAGA. They don't realize they are. Both of those people are exactly Bernie bros and MAGA are exactly the same. And they can't fathom the concept that their guy that they worshiped caved when it mattered.
Yeah, one just wears a red hat. That's pretty much the difference.
But Bernie, my God, at least Trump actually won an election. Bernie never had a chance to win because the establishment wasn't going to let him. And B, it didn't matter because he was going to cave to their every demand anyway.
Yeah, at least when Ron Paul lost, he'd go, John McCain, endorsed him. He endorsed
Exactly. There was people that used to compare Bernie and Ron Paul, not because they had same policy positions, but because they were seen as the anti-establishment candidate, right? Like, I don't really know. There were people who didn't know anything about Ron Paul, except for he was anti-establishment and they hate the establishment. They voted for Ron Paul. Same thing for Bernie. And some of those people were the same people, which goes to show you why democracy is cancer, right? Because they're voting for two people that could not be more polar opposites in policy, and yet they voted for both of them in back-to-back elections. But that being the stupidity of the voters being neither here nor there, the biggest difference between a Ron Paul and Bernie Sanders is Ron Paul actually meant the shit he said. Bernie Sanders never meant it.
Well, I guess the real important question for the 2024 presidential election is who's going to be the Libertarian Party presidential candidate? Like, who is that guy? Who is it going to be?
Or that girl? I mean, they already did it once.
That's true, yeah. Joe Jorgensen. I mean, Joe, really?
At this point, it could be that
Joe versus Joe.
That Zer.
That Zer. Yeah, I mean, the Libertarian Party would be the first. They would do that. I could see them being the first party.
Well, word on this, it's not going to be Dave Smith, so who's it going to be now?
You know what's funny about that? Okay, so like real quick, I see some of the Libertarian Party doing their own debates or whatever. And so you have names like Chase Oliver and Michael Rechtenwald and Joshua Smith. But you know who else is running that I don't even know why they're even wasting their time, because they've completely lost all credibility with pretty much every single person? Jacob Hornberger. Why is he running? Because he was the Mises Caucus candidate in the last election. And of course, he didn't get it. But I heard through the grapevine that Jacob Hornberger wasn't, he wasn't the best person to work with, I'll say. And
big shocker.
Yeah. So, of course, the people who aren't Mises Caucus, who hate the Mises Caucus, are like, well, I'm not going to endorse Jacob Hornberger. Screw that. And then the people who are Mises Caucus, who did endorse him and saw how he was doing, how he was running his campaign, on how he handled it, they're not going to, because now the Mises Caucus has moved on from him. They're endorsing Michael Rechtenwald, which is funny because apparently there's some Mises Caucus people in Joshua Smith's campaign. So that's a nice, hilarious headbutt there. But Jacob Hornberger, like, what are you doing? I mean, who would vote for you? None of the Mises Caucus people are going to vote for you. None of the people who already don't like you are going to. What are you doing? Like, you're going to vote for yourself. It's basically what you're going to get, one vote. That's it.
Yeah. Well, the biggest, so Jacob, I mean, I'm not a capital A libertarian, and I never have been, and I never will be. I don't support any caucus. So with that said, do I like that some of the people that used to be associated with the party no longer are? Yeah, sure. I do. I'm glad they're not there anymore. But I also think that the whole Hornberger fiasco basically killed the Mises Caucus. Like, that was an absolute abject disaster. What a terrible choice from the word go. Keep in mind, for the people that know anything about insider baseball with the Libertarian Party that are not Johnny Come Latelys, like, you're older than 25 and you've been around for a minute or two. So Harry Brown was the best guy they ever had. Harry Brown was the guy. That was the Mr. Libertarian of the modern era.
Wow,
after
better than Gary
after
Johnson,
Murray Rothbard.
How dare you?
Right? Right. I mean, he was a incredibly well spoken, incredibly intelligent, independently successful and wealthy individual who had that gravitas about him, was able to use his clout to get on a lot of programs, get on C-SPAN, give a lot of talks. They were always fantastic. They were always thought provoking. He didn't get into these snippy little fights with people on air. Maybe it was a different era, who knows, but the fact of the matter is they didn't deserve Harry Brown, and they certainly haven't been able to replicate him. And Jacob Hornberger, like, had a personal falling out and vendetta with Harry Brown. That's all I need to know. I don't even care at that point anything Jacob Hornberger has to say or do. The fact that he was on some kind of, like, personal bad ill will with Harry Brown, I don't even care about the details. You're a piece of shit. Harry Brown was the guy. It's such a tragedy that he died as young as he did. They have not, like I said, he's gone, and they have not been able to replicate him since. Any candidate that comes along for the Libertarian Party that is one iota of Harry Brown, they should take that. Unfortunately, the people that you were naming, none of those people are Harry Brown. And I don't mean, like, you know, oh, boo-hoo, they don't live up to him. I mean, they're not in his mold. They are not cut from the same cloth. And that matters. you know, Ron Paul is somebody. Obviously, I'm not advocating for Ron Paul. He's a really old man, and he ran as a Republican anyway, which was the right.
No, he should run. He's 100. He should run for president again. No. 100 Paul.
And I'm glad that he ran as a Republican, because if you actually want to win and getting on a debate stage, you have to be in the major party. But I'm just saying.
I'm just saying
he was cut from the same cloth as Harry Brown. All of those other people were that were discussed, none of those people are from that mold. So if they find someone from that mold, great. I'm happy to hear from them, and I think that they would dominate all the others. Until then, no, they're all clowns. There's a few that I may like on a personal level, but I wouldn't support them in any meaningful sense. I if they called me and said, "Hey, Alan, what's up?" I would say, "You need to quit this shit. You need to get out of there. You need to distance yourself from the party and everyone in it as fast as you can, and just be independently successful." And it's just basically taking the strategy of you know, to lead by doing, you know, be a good example as opposed to trying to be king libertarian. Like Harry Brown was a fantastic example, wrote multiple books, sold a bunch of them, was like a huge investor, made a lot of money. I mean, how many libertarians do you know were independently wealthy and successful, and then after the fact, then decided to get involved in like liberty activism? What is the answer? Somewhere around zero. That's
zero
mine.
Divided by what? Zero.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's funny you mentioned about the whole Jacob Hornberger having a personal vendetta with Harry Brown. So I heard something, and I'm going to probably going to mess it up a little bit, but I heard something. I don't know if it was like a recent debate that they had or whatever, the Libertarian Party, but he said that one of the reasons the Libertarian Party isn't doing as well as they should be is because they're not open borders enough. Are you fucking kidding me? That's the reason the Libertarian Party isn't doing better, is because of an open border. Go, really? Come on. Open borders. Like, I'm sorry to go all MAGA on you, but the open, this, everybody just flocking in America because there's so many, there's not enough people here, Mr. Jacob. Like, really?
The issue, see, someone should have immediately fired back. Like, I'm not even going to get into open borders debate. Someone should have immediately fired back that the reason why the Libertarian Party is not doing any better is because its leadership has been an abject failure pretty much from the word go. But beyond that, the other reason why the Libertarian Party is not doing any better is because libertarianism is not popular. It's not pop. And by the way, there's a lot of people that are involved in the party that genuinely think with a straight face, they will tell you this with a straight face, that a lot of people would be libertarians. They just don't know it because they just don't know libertarianism. They don't understand what we have to offer.
Just read Human Action. You got it.
No, you stupid fuck. No, libertarianism isn't popular because it's not popular. Most people don't want a libertarian world. That is not what most people want. Most of the people that are dyed blue Democratic voters aren't just uninformed about libertarianism. They are actively opposed to it. And guess what? All the deep red Republican conservative voters, they're not just uninformed about libertarianism. They actively oppose it. I can't stress enough that they actively oppose it. They, in their worldview, would stamp you out if they could. So no, it's not a matter of reaching hearts and minds or getting young people or all that. So if you're going to try to spread the message because you feel like, look, I feel like maybe 3% of the population could be libertarian. I'm not even saying are. I'm saying could be. Then if you want to continue to try to reach those 3% of the people, then by all means do it. And by that logic, I want to see the most radical messaging possible. That's great. But how long, even in the last few years, the entire debate has been messaging. At this point, that's just old. No one gives a shit. So you're never going to win anything. You're never going to go anywhere with it. All of this fighting has been over the social media accounts. Let's be real. All the fighting has been over the social media accounts because of the messaging. And sure, I want good radical messaging that I could agree with. I mean, if I could just press a button and have good messaging or not, sure, I'd pick good. But it's such a low priority; it's not even worth getting worked up about.
But Alan, if they just knew about that, if they knew about the non-aggression principle and just understood that taxation is theft. And that sex work is work. No, I'm kidding about the last one. But
even the NAP, even non-aggression principle. See, just because you know what something is doesn't mean you agree on the application of it. So I do believe in the non-aggression principle, but I also believe that the state and all of its agents have already broken that arrangement. They've already aggressed. So I think they all get the wall. I think a bullet for each one of them is fair and balanced. So I totally believe in the non-aggression principle. That's my application of it. Am I wrong? I mean, how much do these people have to ruin your lives before you say, okay, guys, you broke the NAP?
Yeah. I mean, I hear it all the time that, you know, the NAP is being broken every day and taxation theft. Did you know that if you pay your taxes, they're robbing from you? Are you serious?
Do you have to wait for Nikki Haley to draft your son to go to Russia before you say, no, you've aggressed upon my family. Please face the wall now. I don't think you have to wait.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would be okay with that. And that's the thing. Yeah. Like you said, like a lot of people aren't libertarians. It's not popular because they still have that mindset of, yeah, like I said, if Nikki Haley is like, okay, we're going to war in Israel, Palestine. We're going to send some Americans over there. What do you guys think? I mean, as of right now, how many people are in America? 350 million? Mm-hmm. Maybe like 150 million of those families. Yeah, go on. Yeah, son and daughter. Yeah, go ahead. Go fight for your country. Go do what you got to do to, you know, protect us. A lot of the families would be like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't understand how you can be a hardcore libertarian and just be like, I know there's a lot more out there that will vote for libertarian in the presidential election or whatever. But then it's like, but how many more elections do you need before you have to realize that nobody cares about libertarianism anymore, if at all, or if ever?
I'm a really big advocate of the right of association. And the reason I am is because inherent with that is the right of disassociation.
Yeah.
Being able to associate with who you want means distancing yourself from who you don't want. So my answer is, look, are all ACAB, all cops are bastards, right? Okay, if you believe that, and sure, they are. They're all shit fuckers. But listen, I'm not going to get elected, and there's nothing I can do to reform police. So what I can do is I don't talk to police. I don't have any friends that are police. We completely eschew police from our social functions. They are social pariahs. They are not welcome here. We don't communicate with them in any way. They're not welcome in our family functions. They're not a part of our neighborhoods. They're not a part of our communities. We make sure, look, they already think that there's a war on cops and they treat us all like enemy combatants. So let's make sure that the feeling's mutual. That's how I treat it. And same thing for anything else. Like, okay, you know, whatever, the pedos and the commies and Hollywood and all that. Like, okay, so first of all, quit caring about anything those people say and do. Don't give them any of your money. And then make sure that they feel as least welcome as humanly possible. I'm a big advocate of segregation. But of course, when you say that word, it means like, oh, you're talking about, you know, kicking out all the black people. Well, actually what I'm saying is, they don't have to be black. They could be commies. They could just be socialists. They could just be liberals. I'm really good with segregating all the liberals out of my community in Tennessee and making them leave. I 100% believe that unironically. And I believe all this falls neatly under libertarianism.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing too, is that with conservatism, you can sort of kind of know what you're getting when you're talking to a conservative. With a libertarian, there seems to, and maybe it's just because we're both sort of in those circles more than the conservative circles, but we know all these different types of libertarian. Well, I'm a libertarian and I think that this and that or whatever. And then another one's like, well, I don't really think that. I'm more of the this type of libertarian. And another one's like, well, I mean, these two, I'm actually more of a this type of libertarian. And I'm like, maybe that's another reason too, is because you just have so many different factions and so many people who don't even really know. That's why the whole, not a real libertarian. That's why it's a thing. It's a joke because that's true, because nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about. Oh, I'm a libertarian because I believe in private property rights and all this stuff. And one goes, well, I think, we should have open borders. We should have no borders. Just all the states that are out, just take all the borders out. It's one big landmass. So it's like, I can't even finish my thought because it's so stupid.
We could do a whole other show sometime open borders thing. I've talked to Brian Kaplan about this, and first of all, you have to agree on what your definitions of the terms are. So look, I would love nothing more than to not have state enforced borders, because I want to have private enforced borders. Unfortunately, we live in a world where the federal government has usurped the individual state's authority to enforce their own borders. They've usurped that authority. They believe that that power is now theirs, and they are doing a bad job of it. So the answer wouldn't necessarily be to just delete the concept of borders. The answer would be to take that power out of the hands of the federal government and bring it back to the states. And if you wanted to go even further than that, that's fine. But I mean, I work for the 10th Amendment Center. What the 10th Amendment Center would say is the federal government does a really bad job of this, and they're not constitutionally authorized to do most of what they do. So we need to return that back to the states or the people respectively, hence the 10th Amendment. But even if you just returned it to the states, you're going to have libertarians out there. The Lulberts would say, well, Texas can be just as bad as the federal government. Like, yeah, it can, but I don't live in Texas, so I don't give a fuck.
Right, right.
But the federal government affects me everywhere I go. Like, yeah. Goddamn. Like, those people, by the way, just as a random side note, because I know it's kind of getting late, those people just can't take a W. They don't know what to do with it. They only know what L's are like. They can't take a W. Yeah. If they even have a small win on any issue, they immediately try to look for the dark side.
It's not perfect. It has to be 10 out of 10 every single time. That's with all these presidential candidates. I would never vote for them because they're not 100% me. It's like, okay, well, maybe you should, I don't know. Why do you think there's a lot of libertarians who are gravitating towards Vivek or whatever, how you pronounce his name? It's because some of the things he says, like, I like what he's saying. He sounds, out of all the four that are up there recently, he probably sounds the most libertarian. I don't know, but at the end of the day, they're not going to be the nominee. Fucking Donald Trump is. Even if he's in jail, he's still gonna he can still win the presidency if he's in jail. That's how fucking popular this guy is. It's crazy.
Unless something changes from where the trajectory we're on right now, Donald Trump's going to be the next president, and it's also not going to be good. See, that's the thing, is that the MAGA people will be like, yay, he said it, Trump's going to win. Like, yeah, if nothing changes from our current trajectory, I do think Trump will win. And then I also think 4 years later, we'll be right back to where we are.
Yeah, where's Laura Loomer going to be after Donald Trump's political career? Who's she going to gravitate towards next?
Like, I don't know.
Who's she going to latch on to?
Hopefully in a ditch somewhere.
Alan, where can people find your show?
They can go to every platform: Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I'm probably forgetting some. You just search Alan Mosley TV. All those different platforms at Alan Mosley TV. It's Too Late with Alan Mosley, Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We just did episode 287. We're in the Christmas episodes right now for another few weeks. I think Santa Claus himself is going to be making a visit on an upcoming episode of the show. Got a big Christmas episode planned with a very special guest, and episode 300 is right around the corner as well. So
cool.
Again, also getting ready to announce the details of the sixth annual It's Too Late live show coming up. Or is it seventh annual? I don't know. It's way too many.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and like I said, no promises, but if the timing's right.
Yeah, no promises, but if y'all aren't like having babies, you should come May 18th. May 18th. Yeah. You heard it here first, even though don't tell anybody. May 18th.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Send me the details later. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks, Alan, for coming on and having a really great conversation. Once again, I had some topics that I was ready to go and didn't get to a single one.
So. Yeah, I know. When are you starting the topics? It's bedtime.
Oh, shit. Yeah, let me get to them, actually. No. I'm just kidding. For everyone watching and listening, thank you so much. And yeah, we may see you in the next one. Well, I don't know. We'll see. The truck's backing up because they're hearing us. I think it's time to end this episode.
And smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like
just
button.
Just break your computer.
And don't forget to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button.
Bye.
Bye.